I said it in the last chapel, so I'm going to say it again. Legally, I'm still technically Hannah Castanio, so hearing Hannah Nelson is still kind of like a shock, but it's nice. But I'm so excited to have the opportunity to share a little bit with you guys today. If you haven't gotten yourself to a Monday chapel, we're obviously going kind of through the Beatitudes right now. And last week, Ariana talked about Matthew 5:3, and that's, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Today, we're going to get a little deep on a Monday and talk about verse 4, which says, "It is blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." But before we start, is it okay if I pray for you? I realize you can't really say no, so I'm going to pray for you. But we can just close our eyes for just a moment. Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you are present and you are wanting to speak to us today. May you just open up our ears to what you are trying to say and our hearts to all that you have for us. May you bless our time together. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, so my freshman year, I had the opportunity to take Jesus in the Synoptic Gospels with Dr. Charette. And if you know Dr. Charette, he's quite the man. But that first week of class, he gets up in front of everybody, and he said something that completely changed my life, the way I view the Gospels. He goes, "Well, so basically, if Jesus had a greatest hits album, this would be it." He was referring to the Synoptic Gospels and how they all show the life in this, the life and death of Jesus in very similar ways and sequences. And so now, because of him, I like to view the gospel as being Jesus' Spotify Wrapped. And if you have Apple Music, you probably don't know what we're talking about, but don't worry, we will pray for you this morning. But at the end of every year, Spotify tracks all of the songs, the artist albums, everything you listen to, the songs you might have skipped, and the songs you might have overplayed. And basically, it presents you with your year of music in review. And as cheesy as it may be, the Gospels do the same. When we read, we have the chance to view the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus, which is basically his life in review. And so the Sermon on the Mount, and where we find the Beatitudes, is one of Jesus' most famous sermons, and obviously where we're going to land today. And in this moment in time, Jesus finds himself surrounded by crowds of people, and he goes up onto the mountainside, and he begins to teach his disciples and really all those who could hear. And the purpose of this message, or overall theme, was the idea of the kingdom of heaven and the lifestyle you had to live in order to get there. And so, the thing, however, was we weren't supposed to achieve these things on our own, but rather through Jesus. And James Montgomery, he puts it like this. He says, "The nature of the kingdom, one, drives us to despair of ourselves and our morality, in order that, two, we might turn in faith to Jesus Christ, and that as a result of finding new life in him, we might, three, live as Jesus himself lived when he was on the world." You see, it's not until we come to the realization of our current situation where transformation can actually happen. And right before Matthew 5:4, verse 3 is all about spiritual poverty and hopelessness. It's the kind you experience right before you meet God's grace, or if you've ran too far from it. Verse 4 is not just about mourning in general, but about mourning in relationship to sin. And when we become aware of our spiritual brokenness, the natural and necessary response is grief. You see, there are 9 different Greek words in the New Testament that are used to talk about grief. The interesting thing here is the word used to describe the mourning we read in verse 4 is actually the strongest of them all. It's the one that is usually accompanied by the death of a loved one. This kind of grieving and mourning is so deep that it can only be comforted by God. But to receive that comfort, we must first acknowledge our poor spirits and come to the realization that without him, we are nothing. When we mourn, we deeply care. To mourn our sins, we know godly sorrow for wrongdoing. We are not only aware, but now concerned with the evil in the world, and truly understand the suffering for the sins and injustices around us. We often cry over the things we wrestle with in our own lives or the sins of the world. It seems like every time you get on social media, the world's a little dark and the news is never uplifting. Day after day, we see injustice after injustice. And it's in these moments where our hearts cry out and desperately need relief. We desperately need Jesus. But if we aren't willing to open up our eyes to these things, we never open ourselves up to receive the comfort our soul needs. A couple months ago, my dad calls me, and we have a great relationship, but we just never really talk on the phone. And he started asking me just a few random questions, and the first one was, "When's the last time you've been to the doctor?" You see, when I moved out, my mom stopped making a doctor's appointments for me, so I stopped going. I was not going to hop on the phone and try to see a doctor if nothing was wrong. And so I tried to explain that to my dad. I was like, well, you see, if I never go, nothing is ever wrong with me, and so I'm okay. And up to this point, everything was fine, so why go? And I really wish I was kidding, but just a couple hours later, that same day, right after this phone call, I began to not feel so good. My stomach started to hurt, and I felt like there was this weird pain. But stubbornly, I wasn't going to listen to my dad. I just explained to him how if I don't have anything wrong with me, I should never go to the doctor. And so I just thought, I'm going to let this pass. It's going to pass. It's just a normal little thing. Eventually, the pain got so bad where I just thought, okay, I got to think of what my dad said, and I should probably just go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor, and it turns out my appendix was actually rupturing. And so now I not only found myself at the doctor, but I found myself in the hospital. And then I had to stay the night. And the last time I stayed the night in the hospital, I was being born. So I could just imagine that that was just as terrifying as it was this time. But luckily, we caught things right before it had the chance to get really bad. But I think, what if I just listened and just a couple hours before had gone to the doctor because my pain was just little? I think I might have saved myself a little bit of drama and wouldn't have ended so badly, but I wonder if that's the same for us. How many of us sit in this our sin and suffering and think, I'll wait for this. I'll just wait this out. This will pass, and it never does. Or if we never deal with it, it's not really there. And rather than our hearts finding that relief we need, they begin to harden. Matthew 11:28 reads, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You can't fix something you don't know is broken. You can't find rest unless you're aware of the burden you are carrying. And we'll never seek true comfort unless we really know how burdened and heavy our souls are. But Mondays are hard, and I don't want to get caught up in just the morning side of this. If there's one thing I would love for you to take away, it would be the gospel, the good news. The fact that for our morning there, comfort is sure to follow. My parents are divorced, so if I talk about my dad, I have to tell you about my mom. So my mom is my best friend. She is my go-to person for almost everything. She's obviously a lot older than me, and I know she has walked through almost everything that I'm experiencing. So naturally, I seek her wisdom when I feel lost or unsure of what to do. For me, sometimes just hearing her voice or having her wrap her arms around me seems to fix everything. My very first semester here at Northwest was one of the hardest seasons I had to walk through. It was the time where I felt as though I had everything and then lost it. I was standing and the rug beneath me was not just taken out, but then I was beat with it a couple times. It was just a little rough. I couldn't find friends like the ones I had back home. My family began to do things without me, and I got a 34% on my very first Christian thought test. And this was the very first time I was surrounded by all these people but felt so alone. In my weakest moments, all I desperately wanted was to be held by my mom. I just simply needed to hear her calm voice tell me everything was going to be okay. And phone call after phone call, that's exactly what she did. But over time, I've come to the realization that not everything can be fixed by a simple call home or a warm hug. And have you ever been comforted by someone who wasn't experiencing or had experienced exactly what you were going through? It's a bit awkward. I'm not even going to lie. It's always appreciated, but it's not always that comfort that we might need. There's been times where I've thought, that's a great word. I just don't think that one was for me. But you see, there are certain things my mom just didn't understand. She was trying her best to comfort me, and she didn't really get it. Although her words were kind and calming, they didn't fix my anxious and heavy heart. When it comes to wrestling with my own sin and feeling the weight from the world, I needed a different kind of comfort, the kind that doesn't just fade, but rather sustains. And this can only come from the Comforter, the one who truly understands us. Hebrews 4:15-16 reads, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And the thing I get from this is that Jesus understands. There's two moments in the Bible where I feel like I can relate to Jesus and where I'm convinced he gets me. The first is just the chapter before in Matthew 4. That's where he is being tempted in the wilderness the same way you and I both face temptation every day. The second comes from John 11. It's here where he weeps and he cries and he feels so deeply. These are times where I feel we see his humanity and we can trust that he understands us, that he gets what it's like to be us. John 11:33 is the most quoted and memorized verse in the Bible. Why? Well, because it's the shortest. But I believe there is so much more to it than just that. In this moment in time, Mary and Martha are grieving over the loss of their brother Lazarus. And after he had been in the tomb for 4 days, Jesus finally shows up and he makes his way to them. Martha is the first to say, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus responds by reminding her that Lazarus would rise again. And just a little bit later, Mary shows up to the party and she reaches the place of Jesus and falls to his feet and says the same exact thing. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Verses 33 through 36 is where I want to draw your attention for a moment. It states, "When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied, and Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.'" There's not a part of me that questions if Jesus loved Lazarus. I'm sure he did. I know he did. But I just don't think that's why he cried out. He knew the outcome. He wasn't mourning the life of Lazarus, but rather he was feeling what Mary was feeling. He understood. I think so often when we wrestle with our own sin or mourning of any kind, it's easy to ask the question, "God, do you even care?" I think this was Mary and Martha's nice way of saying, "Hey man, if you really cared, you would have shown up on time and my brother wouldn't have died." I know I've asked this time and time again with either my fist clenched or tears rolling down my cheeks, "God, do you even care?" But I think the way Jesus responded, the way he wept for Mary, proves he does. And I like to think he does the same for us. You see, he feels our pain, our heartache, and he sits with us in our mourning. He is the greatest comforter because he understands. When we draw near to Jesus, he draws near to us. This week, I want to encourage you to seek after Jesus in a way you might not have had before. Reveal to him the things deep in your heart that he already knows but is just waiting for you to share. Open his word, spend quiet moments in prayer, and begin to see the way your life is transformed. Because time spent at the feet of Jesus is never wasted time. The more space we make to be with him, the more we begin to see him, and the more we feel how close he is and just how much he cares. When we confess our sins, the things heavy on our hearts, there's this peace that follows. The very thing our souls long for. Because where mourning happens, we're met with the comfort from the one whom our souls have always longed for. Can I pray for you one more time? Jesus, we just thank you for this time that we got to spend together. This week, as we go about our days and the weeks to come, may we never miss a moment of getting to spend time in your presence. May we see you working in our lives. May we feel how close you are, and may you always be our greatest comfort. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you.